Hey everybody, for this elder law interview, I wanted to take a trip back in the time machine. So back when I started practicing law many, many years ago, our most productive way to get clients was to send out mailers. Those are very targeted. We knew who they were going to. We had all the data behind it. We sent a piece in the mail, and then we invited those folks through that mail piece to come to a seminar that we put on. And the idea there was to build trust with that potential client, let them know that we knew our stuff, and then ask them to sign up for an initial consult. That worked remarkably well. It was by far our best marketing efforts. It had the best ROI. Guess what? It's still the same. And elder law attorneys are back to doing this after COVID. I was joined by my friend Josh Danielson from Leading Response on how this timeless marketing strategy is still one of the best for your firm to build an estate planning practice, to build an elder law practice. Using seminars is tried and true, and it's something you should be doing. So join me with my conversation with Josh about the ins and outs of how this marketing strategy works. All right, Josh, thanks for being here with me today. Can you please introduce yourself and a little bit about Leading Response, the company that you work for?
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Jim. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
My name is Josh Danielson, and I am with Leading Response. Some of you may have known us back when we were RME 360. RME. We've rebranded, and we are Leading Response, still the same company. Same folks who have been around 27 years, and I'm based in Tampa, Florida. We're based in a couple of different locations, and my role is to work with attorneys, estate planning attorneys and elder law attorneys across the country, and we help really focus on the strategy around direct mail marketing for seminars. And as a company, we are the largest direct mail marketing firm that supports the legal and financial industries. So we have a lot of experience, a lot of data to rely on to help folks with. We've promoted, I think, just over 1 million seminars, and we've generated about 43 million reservations to those seminars. So a lot of experience, a lot of data to share with folks, and a lot of success. So
let's break that down a little bit. I know you said direct mail marketing for seminars. Can you just kind of define a little bit of direct mail for maybe direct mail marketing for folks that haven't had experience doing that?
Yeah, of course. I think it really begins with the direct mail invitation. You know, direct mail, I think, is, it's obviously different than email marketing. It's different than social media marketing. So there is a little bit of an art to it to make sure that the invitation, the postcard, it can come in different forms, right? We go to the mailbox every day. We see postcards, we see letters and things of that nature. So direct mail marketing by definition is that. We have a couple of different best practices with direct mail as far as what we recommend, an invitation or a postcard, but it is that kind of unique piece of mail that is addressed to you directly and specifically. And so that's kind of what we, for over 25 years, have based our business around, is crafting a response-driven invitation that hits your mailbox and is addressed directly to you.
So traditionally, estate planning and elder law attorneys have used educational seminars. I know when I was coming up, it was a big part of our business, is to bring people in, give them a plate of dinner, ask them to move forward with an initial consult at the end of the dinner, and using that direct mail marketing to get them in the room. But I know a lot of that, the brick wall during COVID. What are you seeing as far as market rebound when it comes to that type of seminar marketing using the techniques that you all use with direct mail?
Yeah, we really are seeing an increase in the number of folks, number of attorneys that are doing seminars or doing public events the last couple of years. You mentioned dinner seminars. Those are still alive and well. I have a lot of clients that have been doing public events for years and years and years with using food. There are others, however, that's not their presentation style. They are comfortable in an education or an adult class type of a setting. And so, you know, that it's not that one type of event is more successful than another, But, you know, the rebound from COVID has been amazing. You know, we've seen just an increase in attorneys and elder law, estate planning and elder law attorneys really just going back out and more events after more events. And really, I think it's important to know that, you know, a dinner seminar or a lunch seminar isn't more effective than an educational event, you know, at a library, you know, or at a law firm, right? So it's kind of really just based on the presenter style and really the type of people that they're looking to attract as a client. And so the rebound has been great. We look at a lot of information and data as it comes in with regard to response and reservations. And 2020, when COVID hit, that year we had about 350,000 total reservations that were generated. This year will probably be just over 1 million. In reservations that have been generated, probably more than that, because there are probably maybe 20% of our clients that take their own inbound reservation calls. So we aren't able to track that data.
Yeah. And so if an attorney wants to start planning a seminar, they're hearing these numbers, they're hearing this is a great marketing opportunity to get in front of some potential clients. What should they be thinking about as kind of important factors before planning a seminar in that process of kind of hopping in to this marketing strategy?
Yeah, I think, you know, I mentioned it a little bit earlier, the presentation style of the attorney. You know, if they're comfortable in being kind of more direct, being more in an educational type format, not comfortable with dinner and not comfortable with that whole process of meals and wait staff and things like that, I think it's important to look at their presentation style. I think it's important to really, look at their goals and you know what they're looking to accomplish out of that seminar. How many new clients are they looking to get out of a seminar campaign? And you know, I think part of that is driven by we do what's called an insight report, and it's a market research report on the area that shows where they want to market. It shows wealth, it shows the amount of available prospects that are there. And so that also is important in addition to the venue, you know, where they want to have the event, what type of venue. We can help with all that. We have an extensive database of venues for years and years and years that we've collected so that we can help them with strategy on finding the correct venue, the correct location, who to target, where the best area is based on where the concentration of wealth is. Oh, wow. That's part of that insight report that we do.
And I know you've talked a lot about defining an audience, obviously that high net worth estate planning audience that's going to be really focused on wealth. A lot of elder law and adult, you know, children might be more age focused. What type of data do you have to help the attorney define their audience and being able to get the right people in the room?
Yeah, so we have a very large data partner and compiler that we work with to target the consumer-based data, and it is credit-based as well. So it's a huge firm that we work with and partner with. So the data that we have is very, very accurate. And I know people are concerned a lot with the accuracy of the list. You know, it's like ingredients in a recipe.
Okay.
You've got to have the best ingredients, right, to make the best recipe. And so we feel that way about data. So it starts there. And that consumer-based data, credit-based data is really important. And we target by age. There's several filters that we use. So we typically look at age. We look at net income. We look at net worth. And typically with estate planning and elder law, we will target a little bit older demographic.
Right.
So, you know, in that 60 plus range. And then but the list is very accurate, and it's consumer-based, credit-based data.
That's great, because I know with online marketing a lot of times you're just trying to cast out a large net and hope you catch something, where this sounds like it's much more targeted with better data.
Yeah, correct.
So let's say we identify, We get our seminar ready. We have the right venue. We have the right topic. We've defined the audience. We've gotten the piece in the mail. How do you how do you make sure you get the right people to show up once they get that? What's that kind of, is there a secret sauce for the RSVP process, or, you know, what is that like once you've gotten the piece in front of somebody, what goes into it at that point?
Yeah, I think there's a number of factors, Jim, really with improving your show rate. Right. Like you had mentioned, there's a lot of different moving parts once they're together. The last kind of component before scheduling the appointment, of course, is just getting people to the event.
Right.
And, you know, one of the things that I think is important is you mentioned RSVP, is that first call when people are registering. We have an RSVP platform. It's 24/7. So we can take the inbound reservation calls. There's an online reservation option as well. I know some firms and clients of ours, they like to take their own calls and be that kind of that first sort of experience and that first call going into the office. But from there, I think that there's really a few things that are important, and that's the number of touches that you make to the people that have registered. So once you get the registrations, is really to treat them almost like they're a client already, make them feel warm, make them feel comfortable. That starts with an initial phone call within 24 hours of them making the reservation. So, you know, thanking them, making sure that they know where they're going for the event, confirming the guest information. If they have any challenges with regard to getting to the event, or they need to be seated towards the front, or things of that nature, any dietary restrictions, those types of things can be covered. And then we suggest a couple more touches to that person before the actual event. So maybe an email goes out for that second touch. The third touch is maybe another phone call a couple of days before the event, just to remind them. People get busy with schedules, right? They forget they registered, or they just, something comes up, or they, see, life gets in the way. So it's important to have at least three touches to those people after they've registered before the actual event. And it's crazy. There are people that I've talked to that either will not do any type of confirmation or reminder process at all before the event, or they will just, you know, make a phone call the day before and remind them that way. But you've got to really touch them, you know, three or four times before the actual event, to ensure that you have a high show rate at the seminar.
That makes a lot of sense. And I don't know if you get into the content side of things, but do you have any insight of the type of content that resonates best with an audience? You know, we're talking a lot about elder law on this platform that works for that particular audience, or that those particular target audiences for elder law?
Actually, we have a lot of content that we have accumulated over the years. We've worked with elder law attorneys, and we have a process that's response driven to where the content is located. So first, before we get to what the content is, we want to make sure that it's positioned correctly on the invitation. Your eyes go to certain places on the invite or the postcard very quickly. So we want to make sure that there's enough space, there's enough room, that things are positioned with regard to the headline and the bullets. So once we've passed that, there's some things that we can recommend and suggest from a copy perspective that's really worked well. And it's kind of in your face a little bit to the consumer, to kind of wake them up a little bit to, you know, what is down the line and what could be happening pretty quickly in their lives as it relates to long-term care if they aren't prepared. And a lot of times people aren't prepared, right? And something just happens life-wise that, or health-wise, and they're stuck with a situation that is tough to get out of. So we try to be in your face a little bit with regard to the copy and the headline, the bullets, you know, how they can pay for long-term care without going broke, informing them of nursing home costs in their particular state. I have several clients that will even drill down on that further and go into the cost of a semi-private room in a nursing home, in-home care costs, what that can be to a family in a particular state where you're living in, and then really just, you know, protecting your life savings. You know, there's a way to protect your life savings and still be able to afford long-term care. And some of the bullets we go into are a little bit more in addition to long-term care and Medicaid. Certainly, we want to present some topics that the presenter is going to be covering as it relates to qualifying for Medicaid, strategies that can be implemented to continue to stay on Medicaid, and different things related to why traditional estate plans don't typically cover long-term care expenses, and the five-year look back and probate and things. So we really like to include a number of different things on the invitation and within the copy, with a strong headline and a strong subheadline.
So that's, I know, great. Yeah, I wouldn't think you'd have that much education almost in the invite, but you found that kind of pulls people in once you've kind of put that in their face.
Yeah. And we usually just lead with kind of a striking headline and subheadline, and then, you know, six to seven, eight bullets. And there really is a little bit of a science to it, if you will, with regard to kind of the copy. You know, I've seen some out there that some invitations that just, you know, are long copy, 3 pages long, others that, you know, is just a little tiny postcard. So we really like to kind of live in the middle of all that and give people enough so that there's something there of interest that they can see, respond to, and relate to, but not give them too much. And in addition, we also, through our kind of discovery call with the attorneys, we really want to understand a little bit about their presentation specifically as well. And that might be a discussion around different topics that they're presenting, just to make sure that invitation copy is parallel to what they're going to be talking about at the event.
Right. That makes a whole lot of sense. Okay. Let's say we had a successful mailing campaign. We got folks to show up. We touched them enough that they showed up. They're there. I know a lot of times when I was in practice and doing this, I didn't really know what to do at the end of the presentation or as follow-up. Do you have any insight into what kind of are best practices at the end of the seminar or for follow-up once the seminar is concluded?
Yeah, and it really does start with the confirmation call process. I think it really starts at that first touch with the consumer that's registered. Everything that you do up to the point of when you start presenting and speaking and then getting into your process of the appointment scheduling starts with that first call to that consumer. And it might be an office person, it might be a marketer within the office, it might be front office staff, marketing staff that does that outreach to those consumers. But it really does start with that. And then parlays into the presentation skills of the attorney, and kind of like American Idol, you know, if you can't sing on stage, you know, the judges and the audience will let you know that, you know, you're good or you're not. And so we're sort of the same in that we will get the people there, and you've got to come in and sing and really do a good job and to be able to get to move on to that next level. And so those presentation skills are really critical and key for that attorney. And we also suggest, as far as duration of the presentation, 45 minutes to an hour, right? 40 minutes, 45 minutes, 50 minutes. If you get over an hour into an hour and 15, an hour and 20, hour and a half, you start to lose people. They start to drift. They start to think about other things they got to do when they get home. They got to do laundry. They got to, you know, things like that. So that's critical, is to be really sensitive and considerate of their time. And that relates to, you know, not speaking too long and keeping it short, being authentic as well. You know, we suggest that you tell stories, that you know, are just personal and personable and really open to share things about your family and share things about your why. Why did you become an attorney? Why is it, why are you passionate about helping people with, preparing for challenges with regard to health issues and what to do long-term and how to protect your family and your assets and your life savings around that. So why did you start? Why did you start your practice? Why are you doing this? Why are you speaking to people in the public about these important topics and things that are happening in people's lives? And that why will really resonate with people. They're there to see if they can trust you. And you're there presenting to see ultimately if that's the type of person or client that you want to work with. But it starts with that. And that can be sharing pictures of your family, sharing pictures of your children, your grandchildren, places that you've been, families that you've helped. So those stories and that authentic type of demeanor and being careful not to speak too long. Those all contribute to that whole experience and to really ensuring that you get the highest conversion rate possible out of that room. And then really just asking for the appointment. I see so many times and hear so many times that the attorney didn't ask for the appointment at the seminar. And
I was probably guilty of that when I was in practice because I got to the end and I didn't know what to do.
Yeah, well, and it's okay. You know, I think that that a lot of folks just sort of expect that, oh, I did a great job, I spoke very well.
They're just gonna come in.
Yeah, they're just gonna come in and they're gonna, you know, answer my phone when I call them to schedule the appointment. And it doesn't often work that way. So letting them know up front that you will be asking for an appointment, that at the end of the presentation, you know, is a time for you to schedule some time to come in and we're going to talk through some different things and to address some of the challenges and fears and concerns that you have. And when I'm finished speaking, this is me being the attorney presenting, you know, we're going to have some opportunity to do that. You know, I'm going to lead you through a process of how we're going to do that, whether you have staff that are helping you do that or not. So putting that into your slides of the presentation, that's really ultimately why we're all here. And that's why me as a presenter is why I'm here speaking with everybody tonight or today, because I want to help you. You know, I want to help others and other families that I've helped the same. So putting that into the presentation, bringing it up, recommending it, and then actually doing it at the conclusion of the seminar. And we can help with best practices around that from clients that we've worked with that have had success in what does that look? When do you do it? What tools do you have that can help with that? Their feedback sheets, comment sheets, appointment sheets, things like that, which helps in that whole process. So
I know one thing that kind of actually made our seminars much more valuable is we had somebody in the back of the room with a calendar able to set those appointments in the room right after the appointment. And we had somebody else do it because after I gave my seminar, everyone was coming up to the front asking me questions. And I had all these people leaking out the back of the room where I didn't have a chance to, hey, was that interesting to you? Is it something you want to move forward with? So we found that having a staff member in the back with a calendar able to take those reservations, those appointments, were what was really impactful and really increased the amount of people that we booked appointments with. That was back in the day. I don't know if that still works. If there's another way to do it with having them go to a website or a Calendly type link or something like that. But have you kind of what's the best tactic for that?
Yeah, no, Jim, believe it or not, that's still one of the top ways that we found. Yeah. Yeah.
10 years we did it. So I didn't know if there was been improvements to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Timeless, just like direct mail. I mean, direct mail has been around for, you know, years and years and years, obviously forever. But yeah, that's a great scenario that you brought up. And it's a really successful way for people to go through that process of scheduling the appointments and meeting with folks. So yeah, we hear a lot of that as far as a process and a successful way to schedule those appointments. And the feedback sheet is really nice as well too. It's a great thing to have at each table where everyone is sitting. So it allows the attorney to get feedback as it relates to the presentation and the room and the staff and just the whole process. And then at the bottom, it is effective to have a little appointment section. So okay. Here, you know, circle the best day, the best time that you're available. And then to have someone come around the room and pick those sheets up and schedule the appointment.
Oh, with, right there.
Right, okay. Right then and there, yep, as they're picking up those forms. And with food involved, I know there are a few attorneys probably that aren't excited about food, or they, you know, are a little bit hesitant about bringing food into the equation. However, it is a way to create a captive audience. So, for example, if you present and then have food brought out, they are there, they're captive. So you can go around towards the conclusion of that process and collect feedback sheets and schedule your appointments that way before people are heading out, because they're there captive as that audience. So that can be effective as well.
Yeah, that's great insight.
I really appreciate the opportunity to speak and hopefully provide a little bit of insight and information to folks that are listening. There's a lot of moving parts to direct mail, a lot of different components. And so I would be happy to have a conversation with anyone that is interested and kind of go through the process and the strategy that we have, and really just kind of starts with a discovery call and really just kind of understanding where the attorney is at, what they've done with their marketing, what challenges that they've had, what goals that they have moving forward with direct mail, and, yeah, really what they can expect out of a direct mail campaign, what that should look like, and how many homes do I need to mail to get X number of reservations and all that. A little bit of a science to that, but that's what we're really good at. And so, yeah, we'd be more than happy to have have a conversation with anyone about that and help out in any way that I can. So
awesome. Well, thanks so much. This has been very enlightening for me, and hopefully very enlightening for anyone that's looking to kind of build that base using direct mail and seminar strategy that's been around for a long time and is growing, and it sounds like it's back as a primary strategy for a lot of attorneys.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Josh.